Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Jenny Hubby.
Hey, all, everybody.
Everybody, yes. Yes, well, another great day. I don't know if you knew this, Jenny, but today is my birthday.
What? Oh, I forgot. And it's my dad's birthday now. I did remember that. 85. Happy birthday, Bruce. Oh, my goodness.
I'm loving life. Just kidding. I'm not 84. But
48.
My gosh, these testosterone shots are horrible.
Happy birthday. Yeah. What are you doing to celebrate?
Yeah, I went out last night, had a special meal with the family and friends, and here at the salt mine today. Making big rocks and the small rocks, but no.
Back to reality.
Yeah, back to reality, and also looking at our presentation we're going to do this week. Jenny and I are going to be presenting at the Adolescent Symposium in Plano. We're going to talk about an integrated model of coaching and counseling and techniques for youth. And so, man, I'm so excited to be doing that with you.
Same.
And you are the better half.
You're the colorful half.
I am the colorful half. So
yeah.
I think we'll that'll be fun. That'll be our first time to actually be on stage together and in a venue like that. You and I, of course, go on this stage just about every week, but that'll be fun. So anyway, enough of that, and let's get to our guest, Jenny. I know you've lined up an exciting guest for us today. I can't wait to hear all about her and what she does and how she does it, and also, she and I have some commonalities as well in terms of our past, or her past and my recent with the whole LPC thing and all that. So go ahead and tell us who else is coming on our show today.
Well, I'd love to. I want to introduce Jenna Johnson. It's G-I-N-N-A. So we got Jenna and Jenny, and not to be confused. So a little bit about Jenna, just to our listening audience. I met Jenna years ago. I think the first time we had a real conversation was at Cooper Aerobic Center when Jenna was doing some outpatient counseling there. And she also for years was a school counselor at Green Hill Private School in the Dallas area. So that's how we got connected. And I know Jenna's mom through professional connections, and always loved Jenna's energy. She talks faster than I think. And so we're going to have a great time. And we also crossed paths in working for Fusion Academy, because Jenna did some work there at Fusion Academy as well. And so our paths continue to cross because we both decided to go into the coaching profession independently about the same time. So the three of us have all kinds of things in common because her professional path is similar to Bruce. So with that, Jenna, I'd love for you to introduce yourself as far as what you're doing now, a little bit about how you got into it, and I'll let you take it away.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so glad to be here. This is so exciting. And I will apologize that I'm coming off laryngitis, so my voice does some strange things, and I'll be sipping on water kind of throughout, but I'm really
just
excited.
Make sure it's water, right?
It definitely is water. I am now a functional medicine certified health coach, and I am nationally board certified as a health and wellness coach. So that is really where my focus is now, which is on the health coaching. I was LPC supervisor. That was kind of my initial introduction, I guess, into working with people. I've always wanted to be a counselor. I was interested in psychology when I was real little. And so it made a natural path to go to college, get a degree in psychology, become an LPC, LPC supervisor. But I've also been very fascinated with the body and all the kind of things it can do. And then I got real interested into food. And it was strange because I was had a private practice in counseling and I was working with people, but I've always had this fascination with food and what it can do. And I worked with eating disorders for a while, so I was around the food piece of it. I was a dancer growing up. I was in a company, so the physical body and the movement and all of that has always been fascinating to me. And a couple years ago, I found there was a conference in Austin on methylation. Keep in mind, I had no idea what methylation was.
I have no idea.
But for some bizarre reason, it kind of spoke to me that I needed to go to this conference. So I went to this conference, and they started talking about epigenetics. And epigenetics is the study of how we can influence whether or not our genes are expressed positively or not at all, or negatively for that matter. So it's the idea that we have some control over whether or not our genes turn on and off. Well, to me, that was the most empowering thing I had ever heard, is that we have some control over what happens with our health. I mean, because we've always kind of been brought up that, you know, if you're born with this, you know, gene, you know, it's all genetics, that it's kind of, you're doomed to follow that path.
Yeah.
So I got real interested in epigenetics, and then they also start talking about functional medicine. Functional medicine is a systems approach to chronic disease, and what they do is really look at your lifespan, which is where some of that looking backwards piece that we do in counseling kind of comes in. But you look back at your health from even preconception on, because the belief being that your health doesn't, whatever health issues you have going on now, did not just happen.
Right.
Overnight. You know, they've been, there's a pattern they've been building. So I got real interested in that. So when I got back from that conference, I read, Amazon loved me. I was ordering every book I could find on epigenetics and functional medicine. So that incorporated with the fact that I've always been fascinated by food and what the food can do and what movement can do and what overall what you have control of, so to speak, over your health, all fit together.
I was going to ask you, tell me, you said you talked about some, you're board certified, or talk about the certification bodies that you adhere to for your coaching practice. I want to hear, are those, is that ICF or is that another donor?
I'm a functional medicine certified health coach. So that's where I got the initial certification. It's actually in within the health, the functional medicine field. So it's a functional medicine certified health coach. And the way I learned about them was also kind of a fluke. And you figure I'm someone who truly believes that things happen the way they're supposed to, and they happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I happened to have gone to a functional medicine practitioner because one of the reasons that all of this fascinated with me is I've always had GI issues. My daughter has GI issues. And I went to this practitioner and told her what I was really interested in. And she said, oh, there's a program starting that you can go through and test to become a functional medicine certified health coach. And
wow.
I was like, that's what I want.
Wow.
So I went through that program, which gave me gave me part of the hours that I needed to sit for the board certification. But that's kind of where it started. But I'm functional medicine certified health coach.
Okay. And what's the name of the association? I know it's a title, but is that also the name of the association?
It's Functional Medicine Coaching Academy, FMCA.
Okay.
They're in collaboration with the Institute for Functional Medicine.
Okay.
So that all the training that you get through FMCA, the curriculum and the faculty are the same as those that what the practitioners get.
And how does functional medicine differentiate itself from naturopath or holistic types of things, or it's a subset, or
they all overlap in some ways, because the functional medicine piece, you go you look back, one of the things we do is we look at preconception. Are y'all still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry,
Bruce,
I'm hearing clicking.
You there?
I wasn't sure.
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, okay. I was like, I'm hearing clicking. So anyway, the functional medicine, we look back to preconception as far as we do a timeline even. So you do a timeline, and then you do this matrix, and it looks holistically at all the different areas, but you really go back and try and look at root causes. So instead of just looking at what your symptoms are now, it goes back and it looks at where things started, because as we all know, everything in our body is connected. And because everything's connected, when one thing's out of whack, it's kind of that domino effect, is it affects other things. So what we want to do is we want to look back and see if we can find those root causes, those root things that happened, to kind of set the ball in motion. So that's one of the things about functional medicine that for me is fascinating, is that we look at all those different pieces and we go back to see kind of where those patterns are, which kind of goes back to the counseling where we look for patterns as well. And I'm trying to think what the best way, I'm trying to think if there's another way to describe it. One of the other things as far as functional medicine is there is a big focus on food and the things that food does for us, because that is one of the things in epigenetics is the kind of control that we have over whether genes, how genes are expressed. We can be altered by the food that we take in. And one of the things we look at in functional medicine is that food does four things. It does the traditional thing we've always known is that energy in thing, calories in, calories out, energy. The second thing is its connection. We use it to connect with other people. The third thing is its information for ourselves, which is kind of what I'm talking about. It can kind of tell them what to do. And the fourth thing is its medicine. You can use it to heal yourself. So what we want to do is we want to utilize food in all those different areas. But aside from the food, we also look at activity levels, relationships, support systems, spirituality, mind-body medicine. We look at all these different areas because, like, everything in your body is connected. You're also connected to everything outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer
wow.
that?
It's
my big answer there.
I mean, it's huge. It's bigger than me, and I'm glad there are people that specialize in this. So, because when I think of functional medicine, I kind of think of pharmacology, you know, kind of like the pharmaceutical piece. And so what you're talking about is how the body functions and how food can be medicine for the body, can be used for medicine for the body. That's part of what you're talking about.
Exactly. And a lot of people who end up with a functional medicine practitioner, they go there because they've been to a bunch of other doctors and people who have tried all these different things that haven't worked. They've tried all these different medicines. They've tried all these different things and they haven't worked. And so they go to a functional medicine practitioner a lot of times as a last resort because they just don't know what else to do. So they're open to the idea that you can heal yourself through other ways than medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because the medication they tried didn't work.
Right.
Or in some cases made it worse.
Yeah. And, you know, as I think about it, you know, we can have, like, we could be coaching, Bruce or I could be coaching a client, and they're talking about how they need to become more active. And yet, if they're not getting the right fuel and the right nutrition, then that can really get in the way of them reaching other goals.
Exactly. And like we said, everything is connected.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where if you can figure out where the obstacles are in the different areas and address those, then things start to work more cohesively. So that's why we address all the things. You can't look at one piece of a person. You know, you can't just look at the nutrition and not look at support systems. Because support systems, if someone's on a special food, you know, if they have food sensitivities and they can't eat certain things, and yet they're in a family who rolls their eyes or, you know, balks at the fact that they can't eat certain things or tries to pressure them to eat certain things, well, that's not helpful either. That's not a good support system. So you have to look at building the support systems as well as altering the food type things. Or you see what I'm saying? There's it's all connected. So if you look at where all those pieces fit together, then that helps the person move in a positive direction with their health.
Can you,
as well as all areas?
Can you run us through a case, like a sample case?
Yeah.
Person comes in, they're presenting with XYZ and what you did and how you got them to a better place, and share some of the methods.
Sure. And one thing I'll say too is I work with different types. Like I work with, in fact, I work with one practitioner here in the area who is a functional medicine practitioner, and she's transferring her traditional practice into more of a functional medicine practice. So the way I work as a coach with her is a little bit different than the way I work with a coach who is not connected to a practitioner. Does that make sense? I have the two different ways that I work with them. If I work with a practitioner referral, then what I'm doing is I'm collaborating with that practitioner to help their patient move in the direction that they want them in. Because a lot of times when you leave a practitioner's office, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm supposed to do this, 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 and this. I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to fit this in my life. And ultimately, then things just don't happen. And then they go back the next time and they're either worse or they're at least no better because they haven't been able to figure out how to do those things. So as a coach working with a practitioner, I bridge that gap.
Yeah.
I take the things that the practitioner wants the patient, or my case client, working on, and we figure out as a team, we collaborate on how to develop those plans to implement things that are sustainable in their life.
Because you're like coaching on the treatment plan. So the practitioner comes to you with a treatment plan and treatment goals, and then you're coaching the client slash patient on achieving those goals.
Exactly. I'm working with them to develop plans that will work in their life. Because for me to say, do this, 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 and this, if it doesn't fit in their life, number one, they're not going to do it. And number two, if they start off doing it, they're not going to keep doing it because it don't work. It's that whole New Year's resolution thing.
You
know,
right.
Give memberships triple because people make that, you know, I'm going to go, and they'll either go every day for 2 weeks and burn out because they've jumped in and it's not working, or they don't like it. So you're not going to do something you don't like, even if you think it's good for you.
So true. So
we look at developing. We look at developing plans that they actually are going to follow through because they work in their life. And the thing is if we meet, because when we meet, we try to meet regularly and we do like an initial, and then we'll do a follow-up, and it's looking at, okay, what worked, what didn't work? You know, what were the obstacles? Were the obstacles things that are part of your life and we need to come up with workarounds? Or are they obstacles we can kind of chip away at? Now, that piece is going to be very similar whether I'm working with a practitioner or I'm not. If I'm working with a client who just came to me just because they came to me, then we're going to look at some similar things of what are their goals? You know, what do they want to accomplish?
Right.
What have they tried in the past? You know, we do some of that past. What what worked then? What didn't work? Because bottom line is most people have at least a general idea of what they need to do. I mean, as far as, you know, if I'm overweight, then eating the candy bar isn't what I should be doing. You know,
if my goal is to lose.
Exactly. And if I'm not getting any activity, then that's probably contributing to the fact that my movement is less. I don't move as well. I'm uncomfortable or my joints are stiff. So a lot of people have an idea of what to do, but they just don't know how to implement it, how to do it. And they need someone that can help them figure out ways that will work in their lives.
And sometimes I think people are scared to start because they're scared that they won't continue. And, you know, that's something. That's a little beef I have about New Year's resolutions when you look at statistics and they say, oh, 80% or whatever have failed by mid-February. Well, why is that failure? Why isn't it just, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else that does work. I mean, it's just, it's like, you know, we don't do things perfectly 100% always in life. That's just life.
Exactly. And that's why I'm building the relationship with my clients.
Yeah.
I want them to be fine and want to come to me and say, this did not work.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be scared to come to me and say something didn't work.
Right. And then they think they're a failure.
Them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I want to build that relationship right off the bat that says, we are in this together. And just because something doesn't work, it doesn't mean that you did or didn't do something wrong. It mm-hmm. means the plan didn't work. And we
yeah.
need to come up with some other options. There's always, my mom and I laugh because we always come up with plan A. Full well knowing plan A will probably not work. So we will need a plan B or a C or a D or however many it takes. Because
that's
nine
a really
times
good
out
point.
Of 10, that very... Well, nine times out of 10, that very first plan is not going to be the end-all, be-all plan.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's
things
great.
Things don't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the key things with the relationship. But as far as when I get a client that comes in, if they come in from a practitioner, then I kind of explained how that works. For me, like I've had a case where I worked with a practitioner, actually, who was wanting to lose weight. Well, we talked about some of the things that were going on with him. Number one, he worked, you know, 12-hour days. And he was not getting activity other than, you know, just walking around the office kind of thing. And I do want to say, I say activity instead of exercise. Because
I love that.
Number one, exercise tends to have a negative connotation for people.
Yeah.
And number
yeah.
two, your body is made to move. It's
yeah.
made to be active. And that can be anything. For some people, that's playing with their grandkids. Or walking the dog, or gardening, or
in my case, eating.
Not sitting on the couch.
Activity.
Getting up off the couch.
My mouth is moving. My tongue and teeth are actively engaged. Okay, sorry.
We want whole body activity.
Okay.
Of course, you could be eating and walking around the block, I guess. So, but we look at activity. So he wasn't getting any. And he also wasn't hydrating. He was not drinking and basically eating, but mainly he wasn't drinking anything from the time he left home in the morning till evening. And he, as a physician, knew that part of keeping toxins removed and keeping things hydrating and moving and working correctly, you have to be intaking water.
Yeah.
You know? So for him... And this is for any client, is sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes, because you're in the middle of things, which is why having an outside person say, hey, have you thought of this kind of thing? Because when you're in the middle of things, you just can't always see that there's some easy solutions to stuff just because you're sitting in it. And for him, we started tackling the hydration piece because he knew that that was key. So what we ended up doing was, And there's a variety of ways that I work with the hydration piece because that's actually an issue for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get busy and we don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I said, well, do you go back to your office, you know, in between patients at all to chart or email or answer phone calls or whatever? And he said, yes. I was like, well, where do you have anything on your desk? Do you have water on your desk? Do you have anything that will trigger that memory that, oh my gosh, I need to have something to drink. And he's like, well, no. I'm like, well, what if you just place the water on the desk, like in front of the computer, so that when you come in, that's the first thing you see? He's like, oh my gosh. He goes, that's what I tell my patients to do with their medicine.
That's brilliant.
Put it where you will see it. And he was like, I can't believe that was what you said, you know. And he got where that was something that was very easy for him then to remember because every time he came in, it was sitting there. Now, I told him, if you ever sit at your desk, one thing you may want to try, and I said, you know, see if this makes sense to you, is if you're going to sit at your desk for any length of time, then you want to make sure that your water is not in the same place every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, that makes sense for that. If you're going to stay in one place, because it's kind of like, I don't know, this may not be the best example, but in high schools, when it's like prom weekend or whatever, And they used to. They don't do it as much now. They did the whole scare tactic of place the crashed car outside the school.
Yes.
So that people knew, you know. Well, it got where, because it was just always there. People would walk by it. They forgot it was there. They got used to seeing it in that place.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not like anything else we do. You know, you get used to things being in a certain place. You'll walk past them 50,000 times and be like, where is that? It's like, because you walk by it every day. So it's the same kind of thing. You got to change it up sometimes. But it stays in your awareness, and you don't just start getting so acclimated to it that you ignore it.
And this guy's a physician, right? Yeah. So it's just,
and he was amazing.
Such a great example of, you know, what one of the part of the definition of professional coaching is provoking thought. And that's what you're doing. You're asking those key, powerful questions, getting information, and helping them figure out how to help themselves and reach their goals.
Well, I think it's the main, one of the main focuses for, as a functional medicine certified health coach, is it's based in positive psychology. So you want to build on people's strengths. You want to build on the things that they are already good at, instead of focusing on things that maybe they're not as strong at, kind of thing. And he was a physician, and he told people these same things to do, but it was not something that he was able to relate to himself until he had somebody else say, hey, have you tried something like this? But it's hard sometimes, I think, to do because one of the things I want to do is I don't want to tell them what to do.
Right.
Because like you said, there's a lot more buy-in if somebody comes up with their own stuff than if you tell them what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and
sometimes it's hard too to sit back and go, oh, I really want to
put the water on the desk. But it's true, because what may be obvious to us may not really be the answer for them, because they know, it's just like your website, you know you best. He knows himself best. And, you know, the water thing, I'll tell you, that was an issue for me. And my doctor mentioned it one time. She said, you know, sometimes lightheadedness, because that was what I mentioned to her, sometimes lightheadedness is simply not enough water. And it just hit me. The light bulb went off. That's it. And so I really started this conscious thing of drinking more water, and it changed. It changed my lightheadedness. It changed everything as far as that goes. I was worried it was something complicated. And so it's just such a great example of how the issue could be really simple, and the solution could be really simple.
And you want to help them come up with things where they can feel successful. And yes, you're going to end up with some things that, like I said, don't work. And that's where I want them to feel like, okay, you have support in figuring out another way of doing this. There is always, always another way of doing something. It may not be like your favorite, but, you know, there's another way of doing something. So it's never about failing. It's just about, that one didn't work. Let's come up with something else. But I want to be sure that they're coming up with things that they initially at least feel like they can be successful with. And that's those baby steps. I mean, placing water on a desk, that's not huge. Yet it had huge impact on his overall health, because he was more hydrated. So he was actually more alert during the day, because your body needs that. And when you're working 12-hour days, staying focused, and also as a physician, you know, you have to be focused and in tune with each individual person, because they're all different and you're switching from one to the other constantly. So they've got to be able to keep up.
Well, it's also a great example of the mindset that he probably, my guess is, I hate to tear this case apart, but my guess is he had a mindset of, I'm working 12-hour days, I'm busy, I can't carry a bottle of water around, I don't have time to drink water, then I have to go to the bathroom, and he's probably thinking all this stuff, and then you just provoked enough thought for him to think outside of the box, his mindset that, hey, maybe there is a way to do this and it's not that complicated. What a great example.
Well, the funny thing about that one, too, is that after that, he did start carrying water around with him, which was good because he was showing, he was modeling for his patients the importance of hydrating, which as a physician, you know, they, you want them to be able to, if you have a physician that looks all dehydrated, you're like, eh, I don't know about the water thing.
Right.
So he was modeling the behavior he wanted his patients to do.
Yeah.
That was just a real small piece of it. I mean, we did a lot of things with him, and one of the things you don't want to do with anybody, and that works for the counseling or anything, is overwhelm them and give them too much to do at one time. Because like I said, you want people to have those successes, because those successes are what motivate them to either continue with that thing or spark them to be excited about trying something else. You know, let's tackle another issue because that one worked well.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about the coaching field and just the coaching profession is we're partnering with them, and it's just so cool to see them, to see a client come up with their own answers just from the questions that we ask, it's always challenging to me to come up with the right questions so they can answers.
Too, is you start kind of teaching them how to ask themselves those questions when you're not
there.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that when you're, you know, when they move on, then they can start saying, okay, now let's see, what do I think about this? Or what do I feel like, you know, they start asking themselves those questions. So then they're problem solving and they're moving themselves forward. And so that's empowering in itself. So, I
Definitely.
Mean, I like that. I like being able to talk to people later and have them say, you know, you asked me those hard questions. And now I find myself asking myself those hard questions.
That's great.
So it's like, good.
Well, it sounds like a really interesting process, and it's, like you said, you know, given the holistic health and nature, and then you're actually partnering with the client, actually partnering with possibly another practitioner to get them to their goals. And again, I think, you know, seeing food as medicine is the way of the future, and probably should have been that way all along, right? But we've, you know, our society have corrupted that with additives and preservatives and crap, and now we're trying to scale back our portions and our calories, and after decades of whatever.
Seeing food as entertainment.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
go ahead.
It is a challenge to combat what we've grown up with, you know, and, you know, that more portion, you know, you want bigger portions and you want, you know, and the food pyramid has changed over the years, you know. So as we learn more and more about food and what food can do and what food does to us, you know, whether it's organic or whether it has a lot of chemicals and things like that, the more we learn about all of that, then the more we kind of adjust our own eating habits. At least that's the goal. It is very difficult if you've been brought up on one particular food and then you find out, look, I'm allergic to that.
Right.
Or, you know, you know,
right.
And for clients, that's very difficult when you have, because, and this kind of goes into some of the counseling stuff, is that, you know, your gut, that was the other thing that I started to get exceedingly, I guess now that's probably my biggest interest, is the microbiome, is your gut is so important to everything and how well it works. You know, if your gut's off, if it's not absorbing, if it's not functioning the way it's supposed to, it really literally will throw everything off. And when we were talking about the counseling piece, 95% of serotonin is made in the gut.
Yeah.
So leaky gut.
Yeah.
Wow.
Leaky gut.
Yeah, exactly.
Disaster. And that has impact on cancer. That has impact on so many women and breast cancer right now. So yeah, you're again spot on with the gut issues.
It's huge, and it's really difficult for people, because they'll come in and say, you know, I've got leaky gut, which is basically I'm showing food sensitivities to everything out there, which is not really the case, but it's not going where it's supposed to go. It's hanging out in areas it's not supposed to be. So it's affecting everything. And then it's like, okay, well, we need to heal your gut. And we heal your gut, not necessarily with medication. We can heal it with food. And once we heal it with food, then you're absorbing the things you need to be absorbing, all the nutrients and phytonutrients, and things just start to heal on their own. And that just amazes people that based on what they put in their body, they can heal their gut, which then makes them not sensitive to foods, which then affects their ability to think. And it's just amazing.
Wow. So talk about the National Board certified. Okay, so you're the functional medicine coach, and then you're also health and wellness coach. So what, there are two separate certifications. So talk about how those work together.
Well, the functional medicine certified health coach is really kind of a specialty within a health coach. Okay. I'm trained to work with functional medicine practitioners, but I can work with any type of practitioner because the coaching is still the same.
Okay.
It's just with a functional medicine practitioner, they have certain tools, like I said, the timeline, the matrix, there are certain food plans that they use that I'm very well versed in.
Okay.
So that's kind of like a specialty to the health and wellness. And then the National Board certification is actually a new one that, in fact, I was within the first group to sit for that. So it's nationally board certified health and wellness coach. And that one, you had to have more hour, you know, it's always more strenuous when it's board certified.
Yeah.
A lot more hours and you take a 4-hour exam. You know, it has some similarities to the LPC stuff, although the number of hours, obviously, because it's not a license, was not near the 5 billion that you have to have now for LPC. Luckily, I got my LPC a long time ago and it wasn't 5 billion then.
That's awesome. Okay, so that's a national board certification. So people that do the health and wellness coach, what is that? Is that also about eating and you know, talk about what that's about?
It's that same holistic approach. They're just not going to focus on some of the same things. Like the functional medicine, we focus a lot on the food piece because there is that belief that it does those four things. The health and wellness is going to look at the same broad picture, but maybe not put as much emphasis on the food and the nutrition piece as a functional medicine coach might.
Wow.
But again, the coaching is very client driven. So if you have a client whose nutrition and all of that is great and that's not their issue, you know, then we're focusing more on maybe the activity or things like that, as opposed to just toning in on nutrition. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, thank you. That helps a lot. It's just, it strikes me, Jenna, this is such a, you're an innovator. You're kind of a maverick on the, you know, on the front end of this, this wave, because food is such a big deal. It's a huge deal. And we talk about it, but we don't talk about it. It's sensitive. Mm-hmm. People have strong opinions and, you know, past experiences. Like when I was growing up, we had to clean our plate because of the starving children in China.
I never understood that.
Well, there's starving children here too. And I'd love to share my food with them because I didn't want to eat that okra. But, you know, those are, I mean, just, you know, those things we grow up with. And so I really commend you for being an innovator and creating this new career for yourself. It's brilliant from a business perspective and also from serving people, which is your goal. I mean, your purpose in life is helping others.
Well, this is, and you can tell because when you talk about me talking fast, I get so hyped up. You can tell. When I'm passionate about stuff, it's like, you know, I start going and I get louder and I get faster. But it excites me to be able to empower people to take control of their health, to be able to change things and change the course. You know, you're not doomed just because you
helpless.
Have some genetic things.
Yeah.
That's right. And that to me, and to watch the light bulbs go off and people face, you know, you can see it when they realize I have some control over how the rest of my life goes. Mm-hmm. You know, and just watching that is enough to make me just smile. I like it.
It's so exciting. Yeah. So for those listening, I mean, I'm so fascinated by this. I just want to be sure that our listeners really get some value out of this. So for those listening, who would benefit from coaching with you?
I think people who either are working with a practitioner and feeling overwhelmed by all the things that they're being told would help them feel better, you know, if they're feeling overwhelmed on what to do with all of this, would be one group. Another would be a group that has goals and knows that they want to make changes, but they don't know how to do it to make it last. You know, they can figure out those quick fixes, but they want somebody to help them not only develop those plans collaboratively, but to also support them through the process. The EHR, the electronic health records thing that I use, has a way where they can text me and say, okay, here's what I've done today. There's a lot of real personal contact so that I can always be supportive. They're never left hanging out there wondering, you know, is there anything else that I could be doing? You know, how is this? It's very supportive, and I think that anybody who needs that or wants somebody to walk it with them, mm-hmm. that I can help them develop those plans, but I can also be there for them if the plan doesn't work.
So you're available throughout the week. So are you like meeting with clients like weekly, and then you're available in between, or how does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's generally the way it works. Now I have some people who want to do the, you know, every other week thing, and some people just want to do like a one-time thing and get kind of a plan, and they figure that they can follow through on it. They just need somebody to kind of help them develop the plan. But typically it's an every week thing. And my work with the practitioner I'm working with, I actually am seeing her patients in her office, but she and I have talked about moving that to the option of the telehealth piece as well on the online. But my private practice, the You Know You Best, is all online. So anybody from anywhere.
Okay. Yeah, because we're on LA Talk Radio and you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it's important for the audience to know that you can work with anyone anywhere.
Anybody anywhere. And the system that I use has Zoom, which is a HIPAA compliant platform. Okay. So, we could do phone. I've had people who, you know, they come home for work and they pile their hair on top of their head and they don't want to do online. They want to do the video. They'd rather do a phone call, and that's fine too. I'm fine either way. Whatever's going to make them the most comfortable.
Okay. And so, you know, I'm even thinking about this for one of my clients. So if their goal is, for example, one of their major goals is losing weight and they feel a bit overwhelmed or lost, then mm-hmm. I could refer them to you. You can work with them on a plan. We could even collaborate on that as far as other goals. Yeah, because they've got other goals they're working on, but their physical health plays a part in their other goals. Because of the energy and feeling, the feeling of empowerment, like you've talked about, when we're able to take care of our body and we figure out how
right.
to do
well, that. And I'm all about collaboration with anybody who wants to work together. Because, like I said, I fully believe that the more support someone has, and if we're all on the same page, that's key.
Yeah,
you know. If
right.
you've got a practitioner here and somebody else there and nobody knows what the right and left hand are doing, then that's not going to be supportive or probably as healthy for the person as the collaboration piece. Plus the fact they feel like they have this whole team, you know, working with them to move them towards their goals.
So do you do like a complimentary consultation for so if someone wants to meet with you like via Zoom or something, that like virtual face to face, then you'll do like a complimentary kind of interview with them.
Oh yes, because the relationship is key, just like it is in counseling and anything that you're working individually with somebody is you've got to have that rapport and you've got to have that relationship. Because if someone doesn't feel like they can work with me, then they're not going to be comfortable in saying, hey, this plan didn't work.
Yeah,
you know. True. So I want to be sure that we're a good match, so to speak. So yes, definitely that intro kind of get to know you, see if we work.
Cool. Okay, I've been totally hogging the time. So Bruce, you have 5 minutes.
Because I talk nonstop too.
Totally hogging.
No, yeah, we do have about 5 minutes. No, I think that's really good. And I like that the online platform, like I said, getting in line with a telehealth type of platform. That's good. Working with a practitioner, I think that's really good. So that shows some good stratification there with the practice and the way you practice, and so. I know that, I'm still in the dark ages. I can't do the type of clients I'm doing on some of the folks I see. It's still got to be face to face and iron stuff out at least here and there. I'm going to more of a tele-coaching thing for maintenance, but do schedule the face to faces here and there. But I think that's really great that you're not confined per se to an office and can do that. So at the moments that remain, why don't you tell our listeners how they can reach you and what your websites or any other social media points that you'd like our listeners to go visit you.
Okay. My website is You Know You Best, and it's UKNOWUBEST.com. And there's a place on there where you can contact me. It also gives my email, which you can directly contact me that way as well, which is Jenna, G-I-N-N-A, healthcoach@gmail.com. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me. I'm working on some of the other social media areas like the Facebook page and some of the other ones, but those are the two primary ways right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
And just maybe we can have you back on the show here in a few months and give us an update on other things that you're doing and also the new social media contact points. And that will be great. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And also the show, we have our Facebook page for the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. So please come by and see us on Facebook. And Jenny, how can folks get a hold of you?
So my company is J-Hub Consulting. It's my nickname, J-Hub, jhubconsulting.com. That's one of the best ways. And then Facebook, I'm usually on there as well, staying connected to people.
People helping people, baby.
That's right.
Dude,
that's right.
What's going on? Well, great. Well, Jenna, thanks for coming on the show today and sharing your experience and your unique practice with our listeners. And I think, this area is just going to blow up and explode. Right now, it seems like it's on the forefront of things, but I think that's where everything is headed. So I think you've really created a very sustainable and maintainable model. So congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you so much for letting me come on. I've really enjoyed it and I didn't cough.
Yay. No coughing. So that's because you were so excited. You forgot to cough.
I know. I forgot about it. That's probably true, actually.
Cool.
But thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time.
All right, folks. So there it is, another exciting show today on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. And be sure to check us on iTunes, okay? We're there. It's free for you to download any show we've ever done. It's there
free.
And it's free. So also, you can go to the LA Talk Radio site and download the podcast there on our archive shows, plural, and catch us there. So with that, we'll bid you a great afternoon. We'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.